You're listening to Chief Concerns.
Hear ye, hear ye. My fellow brethren and sistren of the Chief's Clan.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Please, just like, be cool for once. Thank ye.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Pew, 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 pew.
Welcome in to Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name's Joshua Briscoe, as you heard in that very, very good NFL Films voice by our own Curtis Siebold. I'm here tonight, Beards McFly is on the other side of the glass. We're here on a Thursday edition. NBA last night shifted some things around, but we have a very full show for you here today that I legitimately think... I think that if you're listening to this show... You are like a Chiefs nerd, or you want to become a better one. And if that's the case, tonight's going to be good for you. Also, we laugh. And tonight will be no exception to that. The things we're going to get to are, I think, honestly, really exciting and really interesting. And as always, at some point tonight, we'll be taking your questions. And you can leave those on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. So as much as this is a radio show for the radio waves, it's also a watchable show. I won't say it's a television show, but it's a watchable product. If you go to facebook.com/sportsradio810 and go check out the live video, it is this right now. I'm here in my space hoodie. You can see it bright and clear. My big red headphones, my nice space hoodie, and the sweet graphic that I made for this show. So you can leave a question or a comment. We'll get to those certainly by the end of this hour. We're here just until 10 with you today, an hour of really good Chiefs talk. Tonight, towards the end, you'll hear from Travis Kelce. He was on Desus and Marrow, a late-night talk show that I like very much, and he had a few good stories, so we'll have some fun with those. Also, Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride and I will talk about his current series about lottery picks and how the Chiefs roster needs to be formulated right now, how it's going to be addressed for the future, what depth looks like. And it's really an interesting conversation, not just for next year, but also because some of these implications could be coming this year. And it's a really good conversation. We had to record it earlier because, I mean, hey, Kent, come in at 9:15 tonight. That's asking a lot. The man has a child. He might have done it. But he was in earlier for my show over on ESPN Kansas City, almost entirely sports. It's over there from 4 to 6. Everybody take a drink. He was on over there for an hour today, and we didn't talk about the Chiefs at all. The plan was to. We ended up talking about music from our childhood, like Reliant K, and also the work of art that is Adventures in Odyssey. If you know what those things are, go search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcast. You can go to my Twitter or the ESPN Kansas City Twitter or Kent Swanson's Twitter, and you can hear a conversation of two souls finding out that they are one, being me and Kent. So that conversation was great, but it wasn't very Chiefy. So, what we did is after that, I said, "Hey, Kent, we didn't actually talk about any Chiefs things, did we?" And no, we didn't. So we got another 20 minutes on the reels for actual Chiefs conversation, and it's really good. Kent is really good, so we'll hear from him in a little bit also. But I can't say I had a transformation or a full change of course. But I was given some really interesting perspective whenever it comes to Breland Speaks. Breland Speaks is the Chiefs' first draft pick in this last draft. He was a second-round draft pick, but the Chiefs' first pick, and they traded up to get him. And I have been, I don't even want to say critical of the pick. I've been a little confused by it. Because on the surface, Breland Speaks joins this depth chart behind Justin Houston, behind Dee Ford, and perhaps behind Tano Passanio going into his second year, although Brett Veach made it sound like Passanio is still a work in progress, and Breland Speaks is a little bit more pro-ready right now. But trading up to get your third or fourth edge guy, whenever you could have traded up for Isaiah Oliver and solved your cornerback problem, is something that was really surprising to me. Also, we may talk about the cornerback position a little bit based on a conversation that was had using my name on a podcast, the Chief podcast I enjoy. We may get there later on in today's show also. But the thing on Breland Speaks that I found the most interesting, cornerback conversation notwithstanding, I had a conversation, again, over on Almost Entirely Sports on Friday. It feeds this show. That is the lifeblood that feeds this show. We get 10 hours of that show during the week, and then I can chop out the really good bits and feed it to you here on usually Wednesday or tonight, Thursday nights. This is us absolutely getting the prime rib for you on the 810 side. But so on Friday, I talked to Craig Stout, who is writing for Arrowhead Pride, and he's doing a lot on the defense and doing a really good job. And I'm gonna in a second here, you're gonna get about a 3-minute audio clip of Craig like meticulously explaining this. And if you think meticulous means boring, then I ask your patience for 3 minutes, because it's going to bring up this fantastic conversation about Breland Speaks. So meticulousness be damned. I think this is unbelievably worth your time. I had not had this brought to me. I hadn't thought of this on my own. It's a really good conversation. So Craig had this article on Arrowhead Pride that you can go read last week. And it this conversation that we end up having here started with a poll question that the aforementioned Kent Swanson put out on Twitter. And the question was regarding the expectations for Breland Speaks. It was asking if you think that Breland Speaks would get 22.5 sacks during the span of his 4-year rookie contract. And that seems totally reasonable. 22.5 sacks in 4 years feels like something you should be able to do as a guy that the Chiefs traded up for in the early-ish second round. 22.5 sacks, totally reasonable. And even with my relative Speaks pessimism, that's, as Craig pointed out, that's 3, 5, 7, and 8 sacks in those 4 years of the rookie contract. And so pessimism notwithstanding, it felt very reasonable. But now listen to this 3-minute explanation from Craig, because he felt the same way as far as this seeming very feasible, but he wanted to check and see how this actually played out throughout history. And not only did he go on to find how many guys had hit that watermark in the last 10 years, eventually we start to unpack what I think is the Chiefs' plan for Breland Speaks. So here's Craig not only unpacking those 10 things, but eventually getting to what I think the Chiefs are going to do with Speaks.
We started looking a little closer at it, and come to find out, in the past decade, there's only 26 players that have done that during their rookie contract. That's it. It's a shockingly low number for the number of edge prospects that do get drafted.
Yeah.
So I then decided that I was going to look into what were the obstacles for getting these players on the field. I mean, D Ford, of course, is the first to come to mind for most Chiefs fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dee struggled to see the field early. And so when he struggles to see the field early, well, then, you know, he's not really able to get production and grow as a player. And we saw the 1 year that he was able to be on the field be a double-digit sack year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I decided that I'd look at some of the players that were on that list of the 26 players and see when they started playing more of their snaps.
Yep.
Well, come to find out, the guys at the top were typically guys that came in immediately, started, your Von Millers, your Justin Houstons, Khalil Mack, you know, the stud pass rushers that are around right now. All of those guys tended to come in and immediately start. Well, looking at the Kansas City Chiefs rotation right now, it's hard to say whether or not the young pass rushers are going to be able to get in and really make a contribution early. So that led me down another route of playing on first and second downs. And a lot of the edge players that I found that were non-force players, which force players are Justice Mosqueda's method of measuring edge players coming out in the draft, typically looking at college production, athletic ability, you know, bendability, things like that. Well, Breland Speaks is not a force player.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is Tano.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at the guys on that list that weren't force players, And those are guys like Alden Smith, mm-hmm. Chandler Jones, Brian Arakpo, Jason Pierre-Paul. And I found that those players were the ones that almost immediately were getting rotation on first and second downs. They were strong enough players to where they could be trusted in the run game, and they got early down snaps. Well, it then led me down this correlation, and you know, through gathering a bunch of data yesterday, mm-hmm. I did find that there was a correlation to non-force players playing early on early downs.
I think that is just fascinating. Some of it's obvious. Some of it is obvious. Oh, yeah, you're on the field more, you get more sacks. Nice. Thank you, Einstein. Let me kiss your feet because you are so smart and I am so dumb. But get beyond that. There's some obvious things there. Getting more sacks on first and second down is one thing. But also, we largely judge the success of young pass rushers in sacks. How do you get on the field more in first and second down? That's where, again, the non-force players. If you're a force player, you come in day one, you're Von Miller, you're Joey Bosa, you're Khalil Mack, you're out there day one, not only expected to be out there day one, but you do it and then you produce at it. Coming out of college, you're a force player. Speaks is not that guy, Passion is not that guy, but let's just talk about Speaks. Getting more more sacks on first and second down is one thing. Getting more practice is one thing that Craig talked about a little bit later. You know, it's hard to get practice in the modern NFL, so let's get guys on the field as much as we can. But what can Speaks do to get on the field on first and second downs this year? Beyond that, what can Speaks be expected to do that Ford and Passanio can't? Run defense. It's something we've dogged D Ford on for years now. And Passanio doesn't seem to be there yet. Maybe he gets there, but he's not there right now. So can Breland Speaks stay on the field in first and second downs? That becomes the actual ultimate question. And not only does it seem like that's something within his skill set, I think the Chiefs expect him to be on the field on first and second downs. Maybe not week one, maybe not right away, but I think this is something they expect to be able to do with him at least in times throughout games. I'm not even sure that he's going to start a game this year. But I think there have to be times, and you see him out there on first and second down. Here's the other thing with that. That's not just so you can grow your investment. Having Speaks out there in first and second down means good things for the way that your investment is growing because you're getting him that time on the field. But I think in an ideal world, D Ford is a third down pass rusher. D Ford in the run has been such a problem for so long that I think at this point you don't think that he's going to magically be that guy. Conversely, Justin Houston is both a fantastic pass rusher and a fantastic run defender. D Ford isn't. D Ford can get at the quarterback some, makes very few plays in the run. Breland Speaks might be a better run defender than D Ford right now. And this is a guy that comes up in a conversation with Kent that we'll get to in a minute here. Frank Zombo might have become expendable with the drafting of Breland Speaks. Because Frank Zombo's out there to be a depth guy and to be a guy that you can have playing the run as an outside linebacker, as an edge, and not be embarrassed. But if you're relying on him for pass rush, you're in trouble. Even if Breland Speaks isn't out there on third downs, if you have Justin Houston out there pretty much all your snaps and Speaks out there on first and second down and then Ford coming out for third, or guys coming in for third, because you think that Ford is a more pro-ready pass rusher, which he is, but you think that Speaks is an upgrade in the run game, and you think that the difference between the two is not so much that you don't mind making those kind of minute shifts. You don't think that Speaks out there on first and second down is a pass rushing nightmare for yourself. You don't think that he is a that he's a liability. If you don't think he's a liability, he's probably a better run defender today. Throw him out there on first and second downs. And then let him grow as a player. D. Ford is at least enough of a... He's at least not so much of a run defense liability that you're afraid to put him out there on third and eight. The rest of the defense is good enough. You have Eric Berry behind him. You're not worrying about that. So on third downs, it's D. Ford out there because he's a better pass rusher than Breeland Speaks right now. But while Breeland Speaks has a lower ceiling, and this is against Craig mentioned this also, and you can follow him on Twitter at Barley Hop. He's doing really good work right now. Speaks has a lower ceiling than everyone else in that linebacker room, Frank Zombo notwithstanding. He has a lower ceiling than Houston, obviously, than Ford, and I would even argue probably a lower ceiling than Tano Passanio. But he has a higher floor than Passanio. He has a higher floor than D. Ford, at least as the guy that you can put out there on run defense. As a pass rusher, it's TBD. But I think that is fascinating. It's at least a look into the logic of what I think the Chiefs are expecting from Breeland Speaks. Maybe they're not expecting him to come out day one and be a three-down rusher. Maybe the goal, realistically, would make sense, would be for him to be a three-down rusher next year once D. Ford is gone. But you get him out there on first and second down some more this year, more than we were expecting as of a week ago. Get him out there more on first and second down this year. Let him evolve. The next year it's him and Justin Houston, or it's Justin Houston and Tano Passanio. But at least you feel like one of those guys is going to give you something next year that you can live with. I don't think he's ever going to be an elite pass rusher with what I've seen and know about him. If he did, it would require a growth at the NFL level that would be surprising. Not impossible, but surprising. But I think that he basically has as small a chance to be an elite pass rusher as he does to be, you know, an embarrassment. The worst case scenario, he's a more athletic Frank Zombo. He's an upgrade over Frank Zombo's role, which I think is very similar to what Dorian O'Daniel's doing to Daniel Sorensen right now, where Dorian O'Daniel's going to be a better Daniel Sorensen. Not a game changer or a game breaker or even a playmaker, but an upgrade at that role. The Chiefs need that role. Something to think about. I thought it was really good from Craig. Again, you can go read his full article on this on Arrowhead Pride, or you can go search Almost Entirely Sports over at your podcast. You can hear my full conversation with Craig. We do like 30 minutes on this. We don't have time tonight, though. We have an hour, and whenever we come back, we're going to hear from Kent Swanson, another man I talked to today. But this conversation coming up is brand new. This is a Chief Concerns exclusive. We got 20 minutes with the man, the myth, the legend, Kent Swanson, coming up next.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
Welcome back in the Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Josh Abrisco here with the pew, pew, pew noises and the very serious Chiefs talk. And I'm joined by, I think, the first guest to be exclusive to Chief Concerns. Usually I'm out here repurposing things. But Kent Swanson, I've talked to you now. This is going to be like an hour and a half of conversation today, and we had to have this conversation because when we talked for the previous hour, we never talked about anything Chief-related literally at all.
It's a remarkable feat, too.
Yeah, because, like, ostensibly, we both want to talk about the Chiefs, but
right.
we wanted to talk about Reliant K and Adventures in Odyssey more.
And more.
And more, and more.
Way more.
And more. If you want to hear that, you can go listen to today's Almost Entirely Sports podcast. Just search Almost Entirely Sports over at your podcast. And you can hear me and Kent talk about Adventures in Odyssey and Reliant K. And also pooping. Angrily. like public. Like in public.
And how I met my wife. And all
which
kinds
was related,
of...
actually, to the pooping in public statement.
Oh.
That's not true. That's
don't,
made up.
Here's a true statement. Just make sure my wife's not listening to this.
Here's cause... a true... Your wife isn't listening. here's a true statement. Kent met his wife by poking his now wife's mom.
No, the inverse.
You said you poked her back.
I did poke her back, but she...
That's the story.
Okay, all right.
Leave something for the podcast.
Okay.
Go listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Wherever your podcast, Almost Entirely Sports, Kent Swanson today, It's been great. Kent is obviously of Arrowhead Pride, which I think at this point we know. The Patrick Mahomes to Seth Kaiser's Alex Smith, as you told me in private, that you believe that to be the case, that Kent is old and washed up and a broken man, and you are the future.
I pushed him out a year earlier than I was planning. So, I mean, we're ahead of schedule here.
That's great. You're basically getting that you've had week 17, and now you are
right.
You're thrown out there week one.
That's exactly right.
And you've started two different series on Arrowhead Pride to help get us through this offseason. One talking about building an offense for Patrick Mahomes, and we might not even get to that tonight. We'll talk more very soon, I'm sure. But you're in a situation now based off of one article you wrote that kind of set the stage for this series, and then you've started doing some specific work talking about the Chiefs and their lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great idea, but I experienced this backwards. I missed the original piece, so I saw the first installment of it, and I felt like I had missed the plot, went back and read how you set the stage. I think this is great. This makes a lot of sense. So can you help set the stage first for why you're looking at the Chiefs lottery tickets and why it matters?
Yeah. So what I'm calling lottery tickets are guys at the bottom of the roster, the undrafted free agents, the reserve future contract type players that the Chiefs have accumulated over the offseason, and basically kind of profiling the guys that have some of the interesting traits that might be able to potentially wind up on the 53-man roster. I mean, you look at how, roster construction is. There's plenty of guys that don't get drafted that wind up making teams.
Yep.
And the Chiefs have some interesting guys that weren't drafted this year. They also have some interesting guys that, for whatever reason, didn't work out at their previous team, some former top 100 picks. So there's just a lot of guys that they've brought in here that are interesting that have a potential to make this roster.
And so that on its own is interesting. It's very off-season. It's very May.
Oh, yeah.
But the specifics of the reasoning behind it go back to the Chiefs' cap situation this year and also next year. So you took a look at all of that. Explain what you saw as you looked at the Chiefs' cap situation, especially for next year, which is largely considered to be an improvement upon this year, but you found out not as much as we'd like to believe.
Yeah, I don't think they're out of the woods as much as we kind of thought. The reason John Dorsey isn't here is because of his poor mismanagement of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done some good things to alleviate some of the issues they've had, but they still have a lot of looming issues coming. Mm-hmm. They have, $11 million or so in cap this year, but next year they have about 36, which doesn't seem that bad, except for the fact that their entire depth of their roster is about to be nuked.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are going to be coming off some, the end of their contracts, players like Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West and Mitch Morse and Steve Nelson. There's a long list of guys like that. And just plenty of guys that we're all familiar with at this point that have gotten playing time. They're going to have to try to find a way to create some depth on this football team, and they might as well just start this year with some lottery tickets.
Yeah, and I think this sets up great, because talking about lottery tickets as guys who maybe could evolve into blue chip players, it's a bit of a fool's errand. And also, I think this sheds a little bit of light on what the Chiefs did in the draft this year, because I don't want to say that they're drafting depth guys, but they're drafting important role players.
Right.
We've talked about that some. We talked about that on this show, all sorts of shows. You've written about it. But as far as making sure you have the depth for the future, I think this makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to give you the whole list here on guys that aren't currently under contract for next season. And then I want to set an over-under on how many of these guys you think come back. Don't even need specific names, but tell me how many you think there are. I went through this. I think the over-under here is 3.5.
Okay.
Mitch Morse, Steven Nelson, Chris Conley, Spencer Ware, Alan Bailey, Cameron Irving, David Amerson, Anthony Sherman, Demetrius Harris, Charkhandrick West, Damian Williams, Frank Zombo, Brian Witzman, Kerwin Williams, Robert Golden. Those guys are all no longer under contract after this season. I think the over-under is three or four of those guys return.
Mm-hmm.
Morse is an interesting one. He could be he's probably the most expensive. Maybe Steven Nelson.
Right.
Those two guys are also potentially starters. The rest of the and Alan Bailey is interesting. I assume Anthony Sherman returns because this team loves Anthony Sherman. I don't think anybody else on that list comes back.
I think if you gave me an over under 3.5, I'd take the under.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Cameron Irving coming back in a depth deal or whatever would make sense, because some of these guys are going to not demand terribly high numbers.
Right.
But the value of getting guys on rookie deals, undrafted free agent deals, that's when the lottery, to continue with the metaphor, that's when the lottery ticket
wins, when you pay off on that lottery ticket, because whatever it is that you're going to pay Cameron Irving to be your swing tackle, if you can get that in the sixth round, or even what you're paying Brian Witzman, if you get that out of you know, whatever your developmental guard is, it was Zach Fulton, and now it's Khalil McKenzie, you know, that value is incredible. That's not a question, but go ahead and answer it.
No, I think including, you know, on top of what you're saying, like, the cost to acquire them is minimal.
Right.
You know, a $1 lottery ticket can sometimes net you 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing. Like, a lot of the guys that they've brought on, these reserve future contracts, these undrafted free agents, there's no cash really, like, there's no strong cash hit on mm-hmm. any of them. And if any of them hit, they're getting league minimum.
Right.
And they need for a lot of reasons. If they're able to move on maybe early to mm-hmm. some of these contracts that mm-hmm. we were discussing that are going up, because they can, you know, fill with some of these lottery tickets.
Yep.
They've put themselves in a favorable position this year.
Yep.
And next year.
I don't want to change your branding on this, but I'm thinking now, and I feel like what we're actually talking about is like penny stocks. These are very cheap investments, and you're not really looking for a boom or bust. You're looking for something that you can go, hey, this stock was trading at $1, now it's trading at 10. I've made a huge jump on this. I'm not retiring off of it, but I'm no longer having to pay $10 for another possible depth at guard.
I should have consulted you about my series branding.
Yeah, from now on you can let me know. Branding is my absolute jam.
There you go.
My chief concerns. Pew 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 pew. it's memorable. So you talked about guys they may be able to move on from this year. Who are the guys on your list, and then how likely do you think those guys are to be cut this year?
Yeah, I think there's some very obvious places where they could save a little bit of cash. If you look at Spencer Ware and mm-hmm. Sharkhandrick West. Mm-hmm. Now, Spencer Ware, probably it's more contingent on his health.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still a pretty good football player, but both those guys, you can save $1.5 million this year.
There's no way both those guys make the team.
I don't think so either.
Kerwin Williams, and then the guy out of LSU whose name I've already forgotten. It's another Williams.
From LSU?
Yes.
Daryl Williams.
Daryl Williams, Daryl the undrafted free agent rookie that signed here. Interesting story.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Kerwin Williams. I mean, in some sense, Kerwin Williams is kind of a lottery ticket too, because I think he's making a league minimum, you know, spot anyway.
Yep.
So if you can get him and Daryl Williams, have Williams is backing up Kareem Hunt,
mm-hmm.
you saved yourself a decent chunk of change. Frank Zombo is
another
guy.
Makes a ton of sense. In fact, this is something that we've probably talked about on the show already, or we'll talk about later. Ooh, the magic of radio. This is all very cryptic. About Breland Speaks, I talked to Craig Stout, who's also writing for Arrowhead Pride, about Breland Speaks some last week, and he made an incredibly good point that Breland Speaks can probably defend the run and not be a great pass rusher. He's doing that more cheaply than Frank Zombo is,
right.
And more young also.
And he's I think he's better than it.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, Frank Zombo just makes, I mean, here's kind of one of the interesting kind of dynamics here that we need to be taking a look at. The reason Frank Zombo's here and to some extent probably Anthony Sherman is because of special teams.
Right.
And that's the biggest roadblock to some of these guys being moved on from.
Yep.
If the Chiefs can develop guys and some undrafted free agents and show that they have special teams depth,
yep.
that's where these moves get a lot easier.
And you've got to be able to do that. Dave Tobe is a very good special teams coach. This is a place where you have to be able to get one or two guys that you have for their special teams abilities and then fill in the cracks elsewhere. Also, like the second half of the draft, everybody ends with can play slot corner and can play special teams.
Special teams is. Well, I think, honestly, one thing I might wind up writing about, and we'll see how boring the summer gets,
mm-hmm.
but I think the Chiefs, the group of players that they have that could play special teams this year is exceptional.
Agreed.
You know, there's a lot of guys on this roster this year for 2018, and even void of the list we discussed here earlier,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of guys on there that can provide special teams depth in 2018 and quality.
I want to talk about Daniel Sorensen. He's on your list, right, as a guy who could potentially be cut this year. As Breland Speaks makes Frank Zombo expendable, Dorian O'Daniel does the same thing for Daniel Sorensen. Mm-hmm. Now, Sorensen, I think, has $1 million roster bonus or signing bonus prorated out over the next, like, three seasons.
Yeah, something like that.
There's going to be dead money here for a while. But I'm having a really hard time justifying Daniel Sorensen being on this roster. Can you go ahead, of the guys that you have on your list, Can you, like, rank them in likelihood of being released this year?
Right. Yeah.
How many do you have? It was like five. The two running backs and Sorensen and Zombo, that's four. Was there anybody else?
That might have been it.
Okay, rank those. Or give me the likelihood on each of those guys. What's the likelihood that Spencer Ware doesn't make this roster?
I think it's...
Percentage chance.
Let's say I think he has a 20% chance of not making the roster.
I think that's about right. Charkhandrick West.
78.
Couldn't go 80.
Nope.
But 78. Fantastic. 78. Agreed on that one as well. I think that's where it will be here and West won't be, which makes either one of the Williams makes this roster as the third running back. I think that's right. Daniel Sorensen.
2%.
Oh, really? You think he is here?
This is what I would move on from him.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling that Daniel Sorensen is well-liked, well-respected, and especially by Bob Sutton. And so it's kind of, you know, if the Chiefs are going to – I think Daniel Sorensen's a guy that winds up sticking. I wouldn't do it personally.
I would cut him.
Off-season. And I think, you know, the thinking is that, you know, with Eric Berry back, Daniel Sorensen gets to go back to doing some of the things he's good at, maybe not be as asked to do the same things. I don't necessarily agree with that philosophy.
I'd ask Dorian O'Daniel to do those things now.
He can't do them all. He can't do them all.
But he doesn't need – but the things that – what does Daniel Sorensen do that Dorian O'Daniel doesn't?
I mean, Daniel Sorensen can still play from depth. I don't think Dorian O'Daniel.
So can Armani Watts, and you better hope at this point so can Eric Murray.
Right.
That, and so can Eric Berry.
I don't disagree, but I think they do like a guy that can play in a box safety role that can also play from depth. So if they're going to have him drop or anything like that, some of the matchups, that's where his value is. Because Armani Watts, he's not a box safety. He's a guy that's going to have to play high.
For sure.
You know, stuff like that. Same with Eric Murray. I don't think he's a guy that can do what Daniel Sorensen does there.
Bob Sutton will be showing his hand with his personnel a lot this year.
Absolutely.
That's obvious. But disguising it with Daniel Sorensen isn't worth that money. Disguising it with Eric Berry is expensive and justifiably so.
Right. No, I don't disagree with you as far as if I would or wouldn't. I wouldn't do it, but I would move on from Daniel Sorensen. But I think he's sticking. I really do.
What about Frank Zombo?
Frank Zombo.
I'm pulling up right now what his savings would be.
It's about a million.
The Union Broadcasting Internet doesn't want me to know about Frank Zombo.
I do think it's about a million, if I remember.
Yep, 166 grand dead cap space, 1.2 million to release him. Yeah. That feels like free money.
Yeah, I don't disagree there, but again, that specifically Daniel or Frank Zombo is probably one of those Dave Taub decisions would be my guess. I think that's one guy. Now, and here's
is it worth it for $1 million? Yeah, I get it. I mean, that makes it's not a huge cut.
I'll make a different argument there.
Okay.
You know, it might not be worth, you know, it's $1 million, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what if you replace Frank Zombo with a undrafted free agent that you have under control for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say, let's call it Tyrone Holmes,
okay,
who's an edge prospect from Montana. Have him under club control for 3 years, mm-hmm, or keeps Frank Zombo for $1 million. That's where it gets interesting.
For sure.
Because
what's the loss of losing Frank Zombo's special teams and everything? I get it.
But then also having depth next year. Like, that's really a lot of what I'm thinking about is a lot of this lottery ticket stuff is more about 2019 than anything. Just because, yes, you know, it would be nice to have a little cap savings this year, but just being able to have the depth on the roster in 2019,
right,
because there's not a ton of depth there. Mm-hmm. They need to continue to stockpile cheap assets to help make this thing a little bit better.
So this is actually this. I meant to ask this question earlier, and I will ask it now. What's the purpose of making these moves this year? Is the purpose of making moves this year the roster? Is it about the roster spot more than it's about the salary cap?
Well, I think it's both, because any cap that you make, mm-hmm, or any cap that you save this year, you can carry
roll over
to next year.
Right.
So you've got that, but then you've also, you know, the Chiefs are going to make – if they don't make some moves this year with some of these bottom-of-the-roster guys, mm-hmm, you're going to have a mass turnover.
Right.
So you're either – you know, you're going from, you know, maybe 25, 30 guys that you – you know, or from 45, 50 guys that you trust that you've had in the system for a long time down to 25, 30
right
next year.
Right.
So let's try to alleviate some of the stress that they've got to do to try to return – like turn over the bottom of this roster now. Ease it in, kind of split it up into two years of transitioning away from some of these older, more expensive players.
All right, give me the moves that you would make if you're the general manager here. Based off this strategy, this philosophy, what penny stocks are you buying? What lottery tickets are you buying? And then who are you selling to make space?
So the places I'm looking at, I would cut Daniel Sorensen. Mm-hmm. I would cut Sharkhandrick West. Mm-hmm. I'd probably cut Spencer Ware.
Interesting.
It just depends on the health.
And it depends on what you see from the Williamses.
There's a lot of Williamses. Multiple Williams, the three Williams. Let's see here. Demetrius Harris.
Mm-hmm,
that's a guy we haven't
talked
about yet. I mean, he's got a $2 million cap hit. He might wind up getting suspended for the first four games of the season because of that drug issue.
Forgot about that.
So there's savings right there. I mean, we could save an extra $10 million in that range with those guys. I'd replace them with...
Give me 30 seconds on these four. I got four names that you've touched on here.
Kay.
Give me 30 seconds on each of these guys.
Kay.
Will Redmond, the cornerback, what do you know? Why is he on this list?
Former top 70 pick mm-hmm. in the NFL draft. One of the best man corners in his class, which I believe was 2016. He's got the ability to do it if he can return to his health. And if he's healthy, he's a guy that will absolutely make this roster.
I think I've heard that he hasn't played an NFL snap. Is that
he's
true?
He's played preseason snaps.
Preseason snaps.
You can see him. If you go back and watch the preseason game with Patrick Mahomes against the 49ers, which I definitely haven't
I've never watched that over to go to bed every night.
No, me either. He's in there. He's playing.
Okay.
So you can watch a little bit of him there.
Who is Darrell Williams?
Darrell Williams is a running back from LSU.
Oh, we talked about him already. I had that written down already before we talked about
Well, I mean, we didn't really talk too much about him as a player though. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a good running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a great athlete. There's a reason he wasn't drafted, because he's not a great athlete.
Right.
But he's tough. He's physical. He's got good vision.
And he's been behind Fournette and Geist the last 2 years in LSU. I think he's fascinating for that reason.
Yeah.
Because when you're held back by incredible talent, it's like, okay, great. You were the second best running back on a team with Leonard Fournette and Darius Geist back to back years.
There's nothing to be mad about.
Yeah, sorry. Like, I'll take the guy who wasn't quite good enough to beat either of them.
And there's not a ton of tread on his tires either.
Yep.
Or there's no wait.
There's a ton of tread on his tires.
There's
there we go. We figured it out.
Yeah.
Now an honest question: who is Robert McCray?
Robert McCray. He is a dark horse for me.
Okay.
Like
I'm dead serious.
Well,
tell me anything about him.
He tested exceptionally for a 6'1", 266-pound man. He's a former defensive lineman, kind of edge prospect from Indiana.
Okay.
But he tested phenomenally. In fact, some of his athletic metrics might make him I think Craig might have even mentioned on the show last week, because there's this metric called force players, which basically it's a very predictive model for pass rushers that say if you've got athletic testing, certain athletic benchmarks,
mm-hmm.
your likelihood of being a successful edge rusher is pretty high. He might hit those.
Interesting.
He's an exceptional athlete, and he's powerful, and he's dense. And moving him to
dense. I love that he's dense.
I use that word way too much when it comes to the draft, because I prefer these dense athletes like Breland Speaks.
Right.
But Breland Speaks was not a force player, but this guy might be. And he plays with some exceptional power.
Where is he playing in the NFL?
Playing edge. He's gonna play an edge position, but he's inside, he was out. He's kind of playing all over the line. Moving him full time to an edge position could be very intriguing.
I'm worried for you, because I've done this in years past, where you find these guys in the dark times and you mm-hmm. do a whole article about them or a whole podcast about them, and then they get cut and you're just like, well, bleep it. Damn you, Marcus Kemp.
I hedged. I called it lottery tickets.
You called it a dark horse and a lottery ticket.
Yeah, we're talking about bottom of the roster guys, but they all have ability. It's just a matter of if they can do what they've done well in the past consistently enough to earn a roster spot.
All right, I saved the best for last, because quarterbacks are the most fun thing to talk about. Tell me about this mystery man from Marshall.
Chase Litton.
Yes, please.
Article is up today on Arrowhead Pride. Shameless plug.
I was walking you, me bringing the horse to water.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for.
I want to help you promote the things you're doing.
I could use a click or two.
Go click on Arrowhead Pride and then go. Actually, here, let's read the URL verbatim so you can type in every letter and go straight to this article.
I think it was pretty easy, but I don't want to.
You can follow Kent on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. How's that?
You're helping my brand so much.
I really want to. I'm the kingmaker.
You are the kingmaker.
You called me the kingmaker, so I'm going to call myself the kingmaker.
Yeah, I am the king of four football nerds. So you made me a king, but it's of a very small sect of
people.
You'll be
writing for the Athletic soon. Just wait.
Well, yeah. Okay, so Chase Litton, 6'5", 230 pounds.
That's a man right there. That's a tall man.
He's like, okay, let me say this, and then you can respond. He's like a less athletic Well, maybe not quite as a slightly less athletic Tyler Bray, but no, he
just finish the segment, Kent.
Okay, I'll just tell me what button to press to turn this off.
That's fine. You just talk.
Chase Litton. Oh my gosh, Chase Litton is a highlight. Hello, Joshua. I was scared
just
there for
talk,
a second.
Just talk, Kent.
He's got the same athletic profile as Tyler Bray.
My ears are sweaty.
It's a little, you know, a little hot in here. My legs are starting
this
to...
Studio. Oh, my hair's wet. I can feel it. The studio's too hot.
No, he's... Let me...
Yeah, sure. Less athletic Tyler you. Bray. Yeah, no, sell me on this.
He's about... He's
choice cut of meat.
He might be about the same athlete as Tyler Bray, but he's a better football player, and he's more accurate.
That's good. That's important.
He's really good on the simple things. Like, mm-hmm. if you watch Tyler Bray, the three snaps that he ruined that
yes.
2007, Week 17 game,
yes.
He's accurate in the short, intermediate. He's got some impressive stuff downfield. When he gets to kind of work in structure, mm-hmm. like Alex Smith was really good at,
mm-hmm.
he can be serviceable. So some people said that if he had stayed this year at Marshall, he might have been a day two pick. So this is a guy that they can develop and potentially save a little bit of cash in the future as the number two quarterback for this team.
Chad Henne's contract is a lot of guaranteed money. So this would be him making the roster as the third guy, bumping Matt McGloin
out
of the way.
I don't think Matt McGloin's making it anyway.
And so, I mean, do you think that Litton is going to make this roster, or that maybe the Chiefs roll with two quarterbacks?
I could see him rolling with two.
Haven't, though. I don't know if Andy Reid's ever done that. He likes that third developmental guy.
Well, and that's where it gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I like this call.
They could do the old Tyler Bray IR in week four, like they
that's
did with
a good
him
point.
Early.
Sure.
So they could
okay.
keep him on the roster, keep him under control,
mm-hmm.
Or they could roll with two. But, you know, I think... In this year specifically, in 2018, they got to take a hard look at that third quarterback position.
Absolutely.
Just because if they've got so many depth issues in the future where they just don't have a ton of guys under control
mm-hmm.
for 2019, that's a precious spot.
Yes.
There's a lot of little things they got to look at here.
And I understand when they have a veteran in this first year of Pat Mahomes starting. I think Henne's pretty much locked in for 2 years.
He's locked in for two.
Based on what the contract numbers yeah. I had seen. But after that, the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne had better be big enough that your season is over if Chad Henne's playing.
Well, yeah. And I think we're already there.
Right. Yes, of course. Like, that's...
I think we're already there.
At this point, it seems like he's there to have a veteran mentor
he's
in
a
the quarterback
board.
Room.
He's a soundboard.
And that's fine. He's a fine enough quarterback, whatever. If he plays, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If he plays more than two games, you're bleeped. If he plays at all, you're in a pretty bad place.
That's exactly right.
Because it's about Patrick Mahomes.
It's all about him. The whole season's about him. What all these concerns
about
the defense?
About him.
I'm close.
Every waking moment of my day is about him. Fashion god, quarterback of the future, Patrick Mahomes.
I wish I could pull off the jorts and cutoff, but
I mean, I legitimately almost wore like that today. I would have had the sleeves on because I'm technically at work.
Do you have a T-Bones jersey hanging around?
I have a pinstriped Kansas City Monarchs jersey. It still has the sleeves on it.
T-Bones is just way better for the bit,
it's
though.
It's super cool. And it also, I think it's naturally a vest. I don't think you cut the sleeves off. I think it's just the vest, and they would have like a black T-shirt underneath it, you know, for the actual uniform.
Mm.
I would lie to you if I told you I hadn't checked eBay for a T-Bones jersey vest, just so I can full on like cosplay if I need to.
I'd pay to see you have to roll around town in that.
Would you pay the approximately $50 it would cost me to buy that jersey?
No.
Okay. Well,
no.
We'll take if you listening want to fund this, I will absolutely pull it off. I already have the jorts.
I'll start a GoFundMe.
Perfect. That's fantastic, Kent. Thank you for your hours of service today. You have been a content machine, which is the best possible thing that you can be to a radio host in mid-May.
Sure thing, man.
Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride. You can go read his stuff at Arrowhead Pride. Go give him the clicks. Follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. Man, have you passed me in followers yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Oof.
I'm creeping up on you.
Make a fake account and follow at JB Briscoe a second time, and then follow at Kent_Swanson. Kent, you are you're a real gem.
Thanks, man.
Just don't pass me in Twitter followers.
We'll keep working.
Or I'll have you banished from the kingdom.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
I was just sending out a tweet to our friend Seth Kaiser, pointing out that really I've been a part of, I would say, a lot of good radio today.
Not to toot my own horn. I've, for once, got to ride the coattails of Kent Swanson and Cody Tapp instead of having that in the inverse. Also, there's some things we're not going to be able to get to today, so let me arm you with an ability to go listen to them and tell you where you can find all this stuff. You can go to 810WHB.com or 810's Facebook page to get the podcast of me making Cody. I had a big sneeze. Sorry, guys. Make Cody eat a bunch of gross jelly beans for his wheelie bad punishment. On Almost Entirely Sports, you can go find the podcast there, wherever your podcasts, and hear Kent Swanson and I talk about things other than the Chiefs. Also, earlier this week, we talked about Travis Kelce on Jesus and Mero. There's some good stories in there that we don't have time to get to tonight. And, yeah, we got some good stuff here tonight that I hope you enjoyed very much. So thank you again to Kent Swanson, and also earlier in the week, getting some great stuff on Brilliant Speaks from Craig Stout. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye, Mom!
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.